grateful you are here with us today on It's a Family Affair. Your host, Raquel, and her guests are here to open your minds and hearts to find acceptance in the family you've been given and the ones you've chosen. Through conversations of inspiration, doubt, perseverance, and fear, we all learn to appreciate and find peace in the family dynamic. Let's talk.
Hello, hello everyone. Good morning. Thank you so much for being with us this morning here on It's a Family Affair. And joining us this morning is our guest, Dr. George Glass. He is here. He has over 30 years of medical and psychiatric experience. And the most important thing is that he has his own experience of blending a family and having additional children and making it a very beneficial and loving environment. So, Dr. Glass, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Oh, it's so nice of you to have me, Raquel. I really appreciate it. I'm flattered that I'd be asked.
Oh, of course, of course. So we were just talking about your newest book is simply called Blending Families Successfully. Right at the get, you share your own individual experience. So would you share with our audience your first individual experience of, you know, how you had your conflict and then went, okay, wait a minute, what are we doing here?
Sure.
Go right ahead.
Sure. Well, it's a simple story, and it's a story that affects half the people in the country, which is I was married, I had a child, I was single for a long time, 10 years, and by that time my son was 14, and I met a woman who had two children who had just gotten divorced, and she had a 14-year-old daughter and a 9-10-year-old son. And we got involved and connected and decided we'd get married. And as we moved along, we went and talked to people we knew who had the same experience. And I would say, just to add to it, I'm a psychiatrist, did my training at Yale. I'm an addiction person. I set up the Navy's alcohol drug program at Bethesda. So I thought of myself as a very knowledgeable person in the area of behavior and development and feelings. And my wife has a master's in education, taught in the New York schools, has taught in several other things as well as done other things. So, you know, I thought she was knowledgeable, and she thought she was. All of a sudden, we get married, and we talk to people about, you know, what did you do to make it work? Other people who you know, have remarried. And nobody could say anything that was useful. I mean, what they would say were things like, I don't know what we did, it seemed to work, or people would say something like, well, you know, her son doesn't talk to us anymore because he's upset about the divorce. And for us, that, you know, you lose a child because they die, it's horrible. But if they're living and they don't talk to you, that's worse. So we didn't want that to happen. Yes. We didn't know what to do. And we went along. And then we had two more kids of our own who were less than a year apart, two little boys who at this point are no longer little. They're 28 and 29. So we have five kids, and every Sunday night we'd say, hey, where do you want to go to dinner? And the older kids would argue. You know, two kids would want to go Chinese, one kid would want to go Mexican.
Sure.
Two kids would want to go fried chicken, one kid would want to go barbecue. We'd try to smooth it out, only made it worse, and ultimately we would get in a fight, my wife and I, about you favor that kid, you know, he's like his dad, he's self-centered, or you favor that kid, you always treat him like he's special, like he's that sort of thing.
Yes.
So, you know, in the first marriage, you fight about the in-laws. But in the second marriage, you fight about the kids. So anyway,
yes.
we muck along, and we have these two other children, and the older kids go off to college. You know, they're 10, 15 years older. So they're off in college. Every Sunday night, the same thing happens. One kid wants to go one place, one kid wants to go another place. And we realized the issue was nobody really cares whether it's Mexican barbecue or Chinese. What they care about is, or the cafeteria, what they care about is they want to be special. They want you to pay attention to them and pick their choice. So that was one thing that we learned about those kind of issues. And it's about treating your kids special, not packaging them. The second thing that happened was I looked for books when we were first married about, you know, how do you do blended families? And everything we saw were either very technical psychiatric things or very simple things like God wants you to be together or God wants you to eat meals together. Well, I'm sure God does.
Sure.
But that doesn't help. What do you do when one kid's fighting with another kid? Or somebody tells you, you're not my dad, you can't tell me what to do. So there was really nothing. And 20 years later, 25 years later, our older kids who are now in their 30s and early, you know, starting to get in their early 40s, their friends are getting divorced. And their friends are doing the same sort of dumb things that we did. I mean, one friend was getting remarried, and her son didn't like the new husband. So they didn't include him when they went to the wedding. You know, 14-year-old kid. You know what's you know what's going to happen to that marriage? It's not going to work. So that was what triggered off my deciding, hey, you know, we learned a lot. And, it'd be nice to share it because there still wasn't anything that I thought was useful. And you know, there are several major messages, I think, that I've taken out of it. And the book, you know, is, as you said, Blending Families Successfully by George S. Glass with David Tabatsky, who helped me write it, is about our experiences. And experiences from when you first get divorced and you're all by yourself to how do you date and when do you include your new person with your kids to what do you do about a honeymoon. And you know, most of the stuff are mistakes we made. And, you know, the underlying message is if a guy who's a Yale-trained psychiatrist and a lady who's got a master's in education can make these kind of mistakes, everybody's going to make them. And the point is not that you're not going to make mistakes, because we all do. The point is that you have to learn from them. And what you learn is to try to back off at the moment of passion, when everybody's fighting, cool down, and then take a look at what happened and try to figure out what you'll do differently the next time, because there will be a next time unless you resolve it. You know, the same issues come up again and again. So that's really what we got to. And then we had a number of points, if you will, or things we learned. And the book is about some examples of those things. And guidelines, you know, and again, it's not a cookbook. It's not one size fits all. It's more how to look at a problem when it comes up, how to approach it differently so your reaction is different than it was the last time, and see how it works. Anyway, that's the story in a nutshell. You know, at this point, you know, we've got five kids. They range in age from 45 to 28. They all get along very, very well. There's none of the, you know, this your kid, my kid, or you know, the little kids who are no longer little call the older children for advice. One child got divorced, and one of the younger boys went and spent time with her to be supportive. It's all it's about putting your kids first, really.
Yeah.
Over coddling or over parenting them.
Yeah, and I think a lot of what you're saying are honestly life lessons. You know, they're lessons to learn from our mistakes, to reflect with our family, which I think is so beautiful, in just doing better and in growing. And so I think when we redefine family and start to call it blending family, I think everyone in the family wants to be valued. I think parents want to be valued and appreciated. Children want to be valued and appreciated. And it sounds like, you know, you all did a really good job in bringing that together and practicing it and practicing.
Well,
and
we
practicing
try it. No, it depends. Mm-hmm. You know, and I always joke. You know, 31 years later, depending
Here
on which day, you know, somebody may be upset. But
sure.
In general, you know, 51% of the time, it works. And part
yes.
of what you said, I think, is really important. And it's about inclusiveness. The idea
yes.
that you get divorced and you don't like your ex-spouse. I mean, if you could work
mm-hmm.
things out with him, you'd still be with him most times.
Exactly.
No,
look,
true.
Everyone,
no,
we're
if you
here.
Could resolve
it's very true.
Spending issues
it's very
or
true.
Spending issues or something, you'd still be there.
Sure.
So
we would still be there.
But the fact is, you don't agree with them. You don't maybe like them, but your kids like them or love them.
Yes. Yes.
And even if they don't like them, sometimes they're their parent. So you have to, or you ought to try to involve them in
yes.
activity, just like the grandparents. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the in-laws.
Yes.
And
yes.
you know, the in-laws may never have approved of you when you married their child, or you didn't like them, or something. But you know, for your kids, they're like, you know, they may be a little quirky, but they're the grandparents and they love them. So not to include them in a birthday party or a major celebration, you know, is a bad message to give your children. And the kids
I
do better
absolutely
people
agree.
Get along.
Yes, I totally agree. We're going to come back and we're going to continue this conversation about blending more than just your immediate family, but actually talking about ex-spouses. In Dr. Glass's book, he actually takes us through an entire translation of how you started with divorce, how you bring someone in, and you know how you blend the family, everything from the wedding, and then how you start to blend the kids and setting boundaries and respect for the entire family. So you're here listening to It's a Family Affair with our wonderful guest, Dr. George Glass. Thank you so much.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
We want to welcome you with open arms to our family, to our tribe. We know that there are many ups and downs with family. Raquel Benavides' Facebook page, It's a Family Affair, offers encouragement, laughter, and solid advice as we all go through this process we call family. Come hang out. Share your story.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to It's a Family Affair with Raquel. We're here with Dr. Glass. If you've just joined us, we're here with Dr. George Glass, author of Blending Families Successfully. Thank you again, Dr. Glass, for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited about
of course.
You know, helping people negotiate a transition that we made.
Absolutely.
Reasonably successful.
Yes. So, Dr. Glass, in your book, you take us through different transitions as you're trying to blend this family. And one of the themes that you first started off with is how you go from your divorce and accepting that loss, you know, going through that process, beginning the dating process again. You also take us through joining the families and how you bring the families together, how you include the ex-spouse. Then you also talk about growing pains, about, you know, when you're bringing the family and then you add children on and things like that, and troubleshooting then when you have yours, mine, and ours. So in the book, Dr. Glass really takes us through these great transitions of how you can blend your family. One of the things I'd like to talk with him today is initially how you began to set boundaries and how you define that, and you do that with respect. Would you share a little bit about that with us?
Sure. You know, boundaries are that, you fall in love with somebody again, and not again, but perhaps the first time, you know, perhaps you didn't feel the same way about the first person, but you get involved with them, and on the one hand, you want to do everything to please them, or you try to within limits, but you have, for want of a better term, history or baggage, which are your kids or how they grew up. So, while your desire may be to spend every waking minute with a new person, you can if you work. Most people realize that if you jump into a new relation too quickly, it burns out and you don't have time to process it. But the hard part is putting boundaries how do you involve a new person with your children? And, you know, it's tempting, and I've made that mistake in the beginning. You know, I'd be involved with somebody, and I'd be working late. I'm a doctor. And I would ask my girlfriend at the time, hey, would you pick my son up it's my day to have him. Would you do something with him because I can't get back? That's not right, because what it does is, the relationship, those relationships were early. They didn't work out. And it was unfair to the woman I was involved with, the person, because, it got her expectations up. She got involved with a child that wasn't hers. And when the relationship between us ended, it was hurtful to both of them. So the boundary of, not using the other person as a surrogate, babysitter, parent, et cetera, is important until you're really committed. I think that's one boundary that's important.
I think that's very important.
As you transition through, a second boundary is to realize that the children have a special relationship with your new spouse, whether they've been divorced for 20 minutes or 20 years. They have a special relationship. And while they may say, hey, it's great, Mom, that you're getting married again, or I think he's wonderful or something, there's a part of it that means it's a change, because that relationship is changing. And they're no longer going to have quite the same special relationship. And you have to realize that when that happens, they're going to be unhappy at times. And whether they're 3 years old or whether they're 25 years old. And so what you need to do is recognize that. And it plays out in several ways. Like, if your spouse needs to do something with their child to a point, you need to be supportive. Because the old adage, blood is thicker than water, is true. And if they can't do it, they're caught between trying to decide how to please you and take care of their child. And it's in a difficult situation for them to make them choose. And it's a no-win deal for the spouse, because if you do that to them, at some point they're going to be resentful of you for pushing them. That's
absolutely
the first piece.
And you can't choose between two loves.
Yeah, you can't choose.
Yeah.
You can't choose, or it's not fair. And ultimately, if they give up the child, they're always resentful that they've given up a piece of themselves. And if they, for you, and if they... And if they choose the child all the time, you get resentful. So, it's a pattern to say, hey, every time he whines, you jump in, rather than doing it yourself. And I think that's another boundary that's really important, is that biological parents need to be the one to criticize or discipline their own child. It's hard sometimes because, in the moment of passion, you walk in and the kid is ranting or screaming or doing stuff you don't like, it's very tempting to jump in with both feet and say, stop banging on the such and such, or stop, But or finish your food, or you know, something. But the reality is that as soon as you jump in like that on the other person's biological child, they become, the kid gets angry and says, who are you? You're not my mom. You're not my dad. That triggers that whole scenario off. And your mm-hmm. new spouse is again caught either trying to defend their child or trying to support you, which again is in the long term untenable. And so what you have to mm-hmm. do is really go to the spouse and say, hey, you know, I would really like it if you would talk to Johnny about, you know, taking his dishes to the sink when he gets done with dinner, or I really want him to clean up his room, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Let them
yeah.
tell it. That's the only way I think, and that's true almost always, even you know, 20 years later. It's better if the biological parent does the criticism. Unless
mm-hmm.
a kid comes to you and says, hey, you know, you used to be a really good, you know, football player. You were a good, you know, something. You know, you played volleyball. You were a really good girls hockey player. Can you give me some pointers? When they ask for help, like a friend, that's the time to say something. But other than that, to jump in, nobody likes to be intruded on. It's always
sure.
seen as criticism, even when you're trying to be helpful.
Mm-hmm. And I
but
think it's
another boundary. I mean, the other boundaries are a little fuzzy. You're like, what do you do about money? When you start to get involved with somebody else, and they have kids and you have kids, and somebody has more money than somebody else, or you have the
sure.
same amount of money, who pays for what? And
mm-hmm.
and resolve that. And you know, we talk about that in the book, but basically what probably you should do in the beginning is take care of your own children. And
mm-hmm.
At some point you may want to resolve it differently, or the person you're married to may say, hey, I'll help out with their college, or I'll help out with the, you know, or I'm gonna pay for dinner. But the idea that you should always expect they're going to do it because you're a woman and you're with a guy and he's supposed to do that sets up a problem for most people
mm-hmm.
in the long run.
Well, and you know what? I think all of these things, one of the things that you mentioned earlier was that you guys, you looked for books. You as an educated man, your wife as an educated woman kept looking to scholar. But I think there's a level of intuition that families also need to incline, because every child is different, every dyad in relationship is different, resources are different, circumstances are different. You have so many variables that when I'm hearing you speak, it's a lot about balance. Would you agree?
It's all about balance. It's about balance and common sense. And
mm-hmm.
and taking a step back when things blow up. They're going to blow up. They always blow up.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help it because you know, we talked for a minute in the break. You know, for kids, when their parents get divorced, even if the marriage was unhappy, even if their parents were in an unhappy marriage, for the children, it's the end of their world as they knew it, which they saw as stable. So suddenly
yes.
they are in a situation that's disrupted. It's like something catastrophic happened, and you talk
absolutely.
To them, and they'll tell you that was the worst thing that happened in their life. So, a triggering event, you know, you say something critical, it stirs up sometimes 5, 10 years later, that feeling of you know they won't
mm-hmm.
want it. You know, we talk about that in the book, that you know all of a sudden there's a divorce in children, no matter how many times you tell them it's not your fault, that, you know, we both love you, they always feel like it's their fault, that if they were smarter mm-hmm. or cuter or something, it wouldn't have happened. They could have prevented it. And
I agree. Mm-hmm.
That's
a lot of it falls on the children.
Well, it almost all does. And I think that's why
yeah.
as parents you have to really take, you know, the high road or put your kids first, you know, see what their needs are. You know, one of the things we talk about, again, boundaries is our older kids didn't choose for us to have two more kids. That was our choice. So we made a very conscious decision never to use them to babysit if we go out, unless, you know, we paid them. And they agreed to do it. You know, it wasn't like, well, you know, it's all one happy family, so you guys, instead of going out, you know, when you're 15 years old with your friends, you got to stay home and babysit so we can go out. It was a very clear delineation. Again, that's another boundary. That, you know, it's, on the one hand, it's common sense, but on the other hand, most of these things are things that happen in the heat of the moment. You don't think about it. You know, if somebody calls and says, hey, we got tickets, you want to go? You know, if you were a single person, you'd have to get a sitter. If you have a kid at home, you can say, hey, will you watch the baby? But they may not want to. And you have to make it reasonable for them.
Yes. Well, Dr. Beth, I have to commend you and congratulate you, first of all, on your humbleness, how you approach it, and you admit that, you know, with all of your years' experience as a psychiatrist, and it was still challenging for you, and you still made mistakes, and your wife and her master's in education. And I just want to congratulate you for being the example, and also congratulate you for having the courage to share this story. You know, you're talking about a time 20, 30 years ago, it was the same time my mother got divorced, and it was just unheard of. It was just unspoken of. So I want to thank you and congratulate you for that. I want to thank you for being on our show. You guys, pick up the book. If you're concerned, I know a lot of people are going through these same things. 65, Dr. Glass goes over the percentages, 65% of second marriages will involve children. And one of the main things he just said was, put your children first. Prioritize it. All of us want love, and we all want the happily ever after, but so much of these transitions in our life and our relationships fall on our children. So be conscious and beware and be loving. If you'd like to hear more about Dr. Glass, you can go to his website. It's at www.drgeorgesglassmdpa.com. And we will catch you all next week on It's a Family Affair. Thanks so much, Dr. Glass.
Thank you very much.
Much gratitude and appreciation for sharing this time with us today on It's a Family Affair with Raquel. Take time this week to fill your own family in love and acceptance, and remember to take care of you. You can't give what you don't have. If you'd like to connect with Raquel, just reach out on It's a Family Affair Facebook page. Until next week, much love always.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.